The scripture reading tonight is taken from Deuteronomy 30. The conclusion of Moses' third farewell address to the children of Israel. This occurs just prior to the Lord leading his people into the promised land. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies, and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldst say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldst say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of God. We call your attention for self-examination tonight to verse 19. I call heaven and earth to, and there the Hebrew has, to witness this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. What's your choice? Life or death? There is set before you, in all of its reality, blessing and cursing, life and death. And set before you, these are in clearer light today than before Israel centuries ago. They had to see these by means of pictures, type, and shadow. We have the reality of the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the preaching of the cross and the holy sacraments by which to remember the Lord's death until he comes. And so we have set before us also here and now life and death, blessing and cursing. And God says, as we prepare to participate in the sacrament next Sunday, choose life. Choosing life is the way of blessing. We and our children live now, principally and presently in perfection. We live with God. To choose death is the way of misery. As this scripture says, if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods, if that be your reaction, God's servant says in verses 17 and 18, the plain fact of the gospel is this: I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. Life and death, blessing and cursing. What's your choice? This word of God comes, as we noted, as the conclusion to the third farewell address of God's servant Moses to the children of Israel. Israel, as you know, had been delivered out of the bondage of Egypt. They had been molded and prepared by their being led through the wilderness to come into as their inheritance the land of Canaan, the promised land. The covenant established with their fathers had been ratified at Mount Sinai in the giving of the law of God. And now they stand on the wilderness side of the River Jordan, the very door of Canaan, the picture of heaven, where they will live in God's covenant fellowship. And Moses is called of God to rehearse for the people all of the wonders of God has done for them, and to remind them of the calling of God to them to faithfulness. The fact that they have been chosen, set apart as God's own peculiar people, His precious possession. The fact that they had been saved by 10 mighty miracles from the bondage of Egypt and led by God through the waste, howling wilderness to Canaan's rest means that they are called to live in obedient thankfulness to the word and will of God. The conclusion to all of that is expressed in the words of verse 19, the text we consider tonight. Heaven and earth witness to the fact that God has set before His chosen people life and death, blessing and cursing. Now, therefore, God says to them, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. To that only choice, we call your attention tonight as we prepare to gather at the table of the Lord, God willing, next Sunday. The only choice, its object, its certainty, and its blessedness. The object of that only choice, and you must hear this, is life. Life. Our first impression might very well be that the Lord requires the impossible. How can life, or death for that matter, be matters of choice? We see life in many forms all about us. There is life in God's creation. In the spring of the year, we see the plants, the grass, the trees coming to life again. But plants do not choose to live. They live for a time out of the earth, and by means of the rain and sunshine of the summer, and then they do not choose to die, but die they do inevitably. And just as He gave life, so God removes life. We see that life cycle repeat itself again and again as we go from season to season throughout the year. The same is true of animal life. They're given life. Life is taken from them. They choose neither to live nor to die. Created out of the dust, they return to the dust involuntarily. And is it any different with us? I didn't choose to live, neither did you. God gave us life through our parents. Neither do we choose to die, but death is the inevitable end of us. Dust we are too, and to dust we shall return. For out of it were we taken. So says the Bible. But suppose, for a moment, that life and death were matters of choice. Suppose that life and death were put before us in such a way that we were able to choose the one or the other. Doesn't it seem utterly ridiculous to hear it said, choose life? If we were faced with the alternative and could choose to live or to die, would we, or anyone for that matter, ever be so foolish as to choose death? The answer is yes. Yes, indeed. And that's precisely the point of the text. And here you must listen carefully. When I first preached on this, there were well-meaning people in the congregation who were not happy with my sermon and let me know about it in no uncertain terms. Told me I mustn't be preaching about choosing. They did not understand the text, and I fear didn't really hear the sermon either. However that may be, you and I must listen to this Word of God, and in the first place we must understand God does not in this verse, nor does He anywhere in the Bible, place alternatives before us. God doesn't put life and death before us as possibilities. We do not face them with the choice of taking the one or the other, depending on our will. The Word of God never comes with possibilities or alternatives, and that's certainly not this text either. The text does not say, you will note, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now then, choose life or choose death. That's not God's Word. I don't read that in verse 19. Behold, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, because I've done this now, choose life, that both thou and thy seed mayest live. You may not choose death. You must choose life. That's the Word of God. And man by nature, and we by nature, always respond by choosing death. We do. That's exactly the foolishness of the natural man. Life and death are set before him. God says, choose life, and man says, I choose death. And what's worse, according to the scriptures, you'll read it in Romans 8, that's all man is able to choose. The carnal mind, the mind of the flesh, isn't subject to God's law, neither indeed can be. It's not able to be subject to God's law. That's what we choose. And we will understand the truth of this when we learn precisely what death and life are. Death is horrible from every point of view. It's vivid in our experience recently, is it not? Death is horrible. It's not merely the natural end to earthly life, as the liberals are fond of saying. It's that too, and that's grievous. But death means the end of all our human relationships. Those relationships which are so precious to us. A husband is torn from his wife. or a wife from her husband, and one of them is left alone. And as a widower said to me once, the walls don't talk, Reverend, and it's tough, especially in the night. Parents lose children. Children lose parents. And when parents lose children, they never, never forget. They take it with them to their own graves. A friend is taken from friends. It's anguish. And it's so terribly, terribly final. I'm always struck by that. Whether one dies after a rather lengthy period of suffering, say from cancer, or is suddenly taken through stroke or heart attack, as our beloved brother was a couple of weeks ago, it's so final. It's so final. There's no more fellowship. It's done. It's over. Gone. And then you go to the cemetery. And that seals it all. And our bodies decay and disintegrate and become mere heaps of dust. And there's no way to hide the horrible fact of death. Every one of us has known it from having lost loved ones in our lives. But death is more than that, people of God. As bad as all that is, death is the expression of the wrath of God. Don't forget that. It's the execution of God's curse because of sin. God said, and God is not mocked, and His word never returns void, empty. It always accomplishes His purpose. God said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the next thing we know from Scripture, Adam and Eve are foolishly trying to hide with fig leaves from God's presence. We ate through our first parents. We died and we're dead. Hebrews 2 tells us that. We're dead. We're not sick. We're not even terminally ill. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Born into this life only to die. Death works in our very members. Sickness, the infirmities of old age, fear, anxiety, all and more things are evidence of that. And God says, in all of these experiences, dying, you die. In a word, death is alienation from the loving fellowship of God. That's death. And life is in God. This same servant of the Lord, Moses, stood before a bush that burned and yet was not consumed. And when he asked, "Whom shall I say sent me?" the answer from the bush is this: Jehovah, the I am that I am, the living God. There is no life outside of God. God lives the perfect life, the life of communion and fellowship within the perfection of His own being as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God created us in His own image and after His own likeness, precisely so that we might share in His life. I'm always struck by the first chapter of 2 Peter, which says that we are made partakers, mind you, of the divine nature. And that word translated partaker is sharer. Think of that. What a statement. Sharers of the divine nature. That's life. It's to be in communion and fellowship with God. By nature, we're dead. We lost all of that. There's only one way for us, the way of God's sovereign grace in Jesus Christ. who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the life, also the life of which this text speaks. The covenant as established with the fathers, Adam, Eve, Seth, Enoch, who walked with God, Noah, Shem, Japheth, dwelling in his tents, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes, and more especially, David, and Christ, and all who are in him by faith, Galatians 3. And even in that Old Testament era, centuries and centuries ago, they had that life. The law given at Sinai was the tutor, the schoolmaster that pointed them to Christ. The tabernacle, the prophets, priests, and kings, the sacrifice and feasts that all pointed to Jesus. Choosing life for Israel, therefore, meant choosing the way of God's commandments. Verse 16, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and mind and soul and strength. It meant rejecting the way of death, turning to the Word of God. And that must be the object of our choice tonight, too. The only difference is, and it's huge in many ways, we no longer have to see all that in the pictures, the types, the shadows. It's all fulfilled in the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ. Choosing life means the way of thankful obedience to the will of God, expressed in His Word and summed in His law. Choosing life is rejecting death. It's walking in the light of the Word of God. There is fellowship with the Lord. And the wonderful gospel of God's sovereign and particular grace in Christ Jesus is this: that choice is absolutely certain. Life and death. Blessing and cursing. God's word is, I call heaven and earth to witness before you this day in the way of judgment. Life and death are set before you. The law and the prophets, the sacrifices and the promise, obedience to the statutes and judgments and commandments, or compromise with the idolatry of the heathen nations, the way of life, the way of death, God and Canaan, Satan and hell, idolatry, Moab's Baal, or Canaan and life. Now, therefore, Israel and Church of Jesus Christ here at Trinity, choose life. That's the choice, both for Israel of old and God's church all through the ages. Heaven and earth called to witness. And that takes us to one of the key doctrines precious to the Reformed believer, and especially, I might add, to the Protestant Reformed believer, the doctrine of the antithesis. Life and death, blessing and cursing, are set before us. It's God or Satan, Christ or Belial, the world or the church. And always, people of God understand this. It's either or. It's never. Never both and. Either we choose Christ, and that means we reject Satan, or we choose the devil and reject Christ. Either we compromise with darkness, or we despise the light, or we hate the darkness and walk in the light. No sidestepping the issue. Choose we must. Either life or death, blessing or cursing. Choose we do. With every breath we take, we're always choosing. In all our thinking and desiring, wherever we go, whatever we do, we are evaluating, we are distinguishing, and we are expressing agreement either with God or Satan. But remember this. Remember this. God says, choose life. That's the exhortation. That's the command. God doesn't say, you may have your pick. God doesn't say, life or death. Now won't you please choose life so that I can bless you and be your God? God doesn't say that. God says both are set before you. Choose you must, God says, and choose you will, God says, but God also says choose life, and you must do that. And you must reject death. And what you choose has crucial implications for your children. Think of this for just a moment, will you? Choosing death means your children die. You want that? You want your children to die? Listen to Scripture. God visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate him. He shows mercy unto thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. Choose life that thou and thy seed may live. The Lord is merciful to his own and reveals his wrath against all unbelief. It wasn't long after the conquest of Canaan. Moses had been taken to glory. Joshua is at the end of his days, his successor. And he said the same thing, didn't he? Choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. Israel chose death and failed to teach their children. And a mere generation later, we find every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. No king in Israel. And you had the terrible time of the judges. What's your choice, people of God? Is it life? Shall we examine ourselves? We must this week. Our thoughts, our desires, our everyday activities. Is it all in harmony with God's will? Our pleasure seeking, our rest and relaxation too? Are all these choosing life for us? Can it be seen in our daily living that life is indeed our choice? Or does our daily living reveal that we choose death? Is it the music of the world? Is it the lust and wickedness and unmentionable immorality of the world? Is it death? What is our choice? Parents, what's your choice? What's your choice for your children? Do you bring them up, as you heard once more this morning, I'm certain, to the utmost of your power in the fear of the Lord? Do you teach them the commandments of God as they're taught here in this Christian church, in your homes? Is that what we have in our schools? Thank God it is. Do you teach them by example of life, fathers and mothers? Can your children see in you, in how you live, in how you act, in what you say, in how you think, that life is your choice? What's the choice? Life? Come to the table of the Lord next Sunday. Eat and drink of the broken bread and the wine poured out, and enjoy the life of God's fellowship, ours through the broken body and shed blood of Jesus. Your choice is death. You eat and drink judgment to yourself. What is your choice? And now, people of God, don't be foolish. Don't start talking about free will. And don't say no one would be so stupid as to choose death, because that's exactly the truth. We do that by nature at every turn of our way. But don't despair either. The choice of life is certain, because God's choice is first. It always comes to that, doesn't it? And isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? Our faith, our hope, our joy, our life doesn't rest upon us. The certainty is in God. Listen to verses 11 through 13. The Word of God is not far from you. It's not hidden from thee. It's not way up in heaven where you cannot go, nor is it beyond the sea, too far away for you. No, the Word is nigh thee. It's near to you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart, that thou mayest hear it and do it. And that is the mighty grace, the wonderful grace of God in our Lord Jesus. And because it's in your heart and in your mouth, and because God put it there by His grace, God says to you, right here and now, choose life. And life we choose. That's the mighty saving power of God's Word. Look at the cross. Look at the empty grave of Jesus. Hear the Word of God and see it in the sacrament as it witnesses, and the Spirit witnesses with our spirits, that we are the children of God. The fruit will be there. We will see our sin. We will confess our sin before God, and we will come to the table, not as those righteous in ourselves, but as those who seek salvation outside of themselves in Christ Jesus. And that is blessed indeed. Thou and thy seed live. Think of that. We dwell in the land which the Lord sware to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is the length of our days. He's our life. For Israel, all in type and shadow, for us in reality. Oh, yes, we live. We live now. A foretaste of that everlasting life we're given every Lord's Day, when we gather twice here in the sanctuary to partake of the means of grace through the Word preached and the sacraments. We experience over and over again the forgiveness of our sins and the peace that passes all understanding. And even in our tears, we have the joy of salvation. And in all the hopelessness and despair of this weary night, we have the hope of life eternal. And in our afflictions and in our sorrows, in our fears and anxieties, our trials and sufferings, God is our refuge and our strength, our very present aid in time of trouble, our only comfort, His grace in Jesus Christ is always sufficient. And we see our children, the heritage of the Lord, we see them live. Out of the mouths of our babes, the psalmist says, the Lord ordained strength to slay the enemy and put him to flight. Think of that. The babblings as well as the simple prayers and the songs, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. Jesus loves me. This I know, the Bible tells me so. That's God's strength to slay the enemy. And we see our children coming to years of discretion, confessing their faith, walking in the ways of God. And never do we see this in the way of choosing death. That spells God's wrath for us and our children. And God is not mocked. There is that warning always to the gospel message. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Now, therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. That's the word of God, Church of Jesus Christ. Choose life. And our answer is, Lord God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Hear my cry, O Lord. Life I choose because thou didst choose me. Blessing is upon you, child of God. Heaven is yours, the new heaven and the new earth. And you shall never die, Jesus said. You believe that, don't you? Amen. Father in heaven, bless this wonderful word of the gospel to our hearts and lives, that properly we may examine ourselves in the week that lies ahead, even as we're called to do all the days of our life, but in a special way with a view to gathering at the table of the Lord next Sunday to remember through broken bread and wine poured out the Lord's death until he come in obedience to his institution. And in whose name we pray, amen.